Back in the 1980s, when I was a new driver, there was a trend for bumper stickers, and some of you will remember that, either on the bumper or on the back windscreen of the car. For example, so as you followed the car in front of you, you might read stickers that said things like, "If you can read this, you're too close," which you probably were by that stage because you were edging forward to try and read it, weren't you? Or you might have seen a sticker, "If you think this is too slow, wait until we go uphill," which would have been quite relevant for my ancient Morris Marina, the first car that I drove. Or on the back of motorhomes, to this day, I think, "We're on a ski holiday, spending our kids' inheritance." Do you know, I relate to that one more nowadays. Christians, as some of us will remember, were quick to jump on the bandwagon, seizing the opportunity for some cringe-worthy witnessing. For example, "Honk if you love Jesus." Yuck. Or, "This car is prayer conditioned." That's kind of a little bit better. Well, my car was prayer conditioned, but only when I wound down the windows. Air conditioned. Prayers, well, people in the car perhaps needed the prayers. Or this one, "Carpenter from Nazareth seeks joiners." Yeah, well, a little bit better, isn't it? Yeah, you like that, Pat. Or especially around Christmas, with a picture of camels on it, Mary and Joseph and baby in a manger, wise men still seek Jesus. The wordplay doesn't work, really, unless you leave it as wise men, but I'm sure it includes wise women as well, and whoever you are, I hope that you get the idea that the wise still seek Jesus. Now, I know that Christmas is over, and we're probably glad, but I want to reflect on the thought of seeking the King today, and the idea that the wise do seek Jesus. And also make reference to those other visitors to Jesus, the shepherds. Last Friday just gone, was Epiphany, the day when the Christian church has traditionally remembered the coming of the wise men who were seeking Jesus. We sometimes call them kings, especially in carols, but more often today we call them magi. They came from the east, probably from Persia, or what we know today as Iran. Now, I wouldn't recommend that you read the stars to make decisions, but rather that you consult the God who made the stars when you make decisions. And yet these were learned people who read the signs in the heavens in the way of their time. And there was an unusual sign in the night sky that pointed them to a king born in Judea, a sign that is referred to as a star. Now, some have speculated that perhaps this star was Halley's or Halley's Comet, which appeared around 12 BC, but that seems a little bit too early for it to be the sign that led these wise men to Jesus. Others have said it might have been a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, the two biggest planets in our solar system, just shining closely together in the night sky, which actually happened because astronomers can work out these things, can't they, going back in time, in the year 7 BC. So that's a little bit more possible. But whatever this sign was, it led those learned people on a journey of seeking the one born King of the Jews. Now, sometimes we speak of a person having an epiphany. A dictionary definition of epiphany is a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. And perhaps these magi had such a moment through seeing the star. Maybe that moment came as they searched their scrolls of knowledge for its meaning. Their journey to Jerusalem seems to have been a considered journey rather than an impulsive one, one that was based on their knowledge and their reasoning, a decision of the head rather than the heart to seek the King. Contrast that with the shepherds, who had an epiphany of their own, an angelic company appearing to them. Now, it seems that these shepherds were not seeking at all, just minding their own business, watching over their flocks by night as they always did. As they had this epiphany, at first they were terrified. But the God that they didn't know that they should seek, this God sought them. And when the angel told them the good news of a Messiah born in Bethlehem, they went to seek him out. A decision, I think we can say, which was of the heart. So, here's a question for you. Who do you relate to more? Do you relate to the shepherds or the magi? If you're a person of faith, was your faith prompted first by your heart or by your head? It's not a trick question, by the way. People come to faith in Christ by different routes. I have known people for whom it started with an intellectual decision, and those for whom it began with just a sense of God being there. Somehow they knew that he was. Perhaps the intellectual route is like that of the writer C.S. Lewis, he who wrote the Narnia books, but much more besides that. And C.S. Lewis journeyed from being brought up in the church, as of course many people were back in the 1920-ish, and he journeyed from being brought up in the church to atheism, to agnosticism, and went on seeking and searching and researching and reasoning until finally he admitted that God is God and became, in his own words, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. Yes, he did say that. You can read it in his book. It took a while for his heart to catch up with his head, but eventually it did, as described in that book, Surprised by Joy. So that's the one to read if you want to read that story. Now, maybe the emotional route, the decision of the heart, is like that of my wife's nan, who was a working-class woman with a heart of gold. She would welcome all sorts of waifs and strays into her home, would do anything for anyone, but she didn't see the need for God or for the church. Then she went to see her granddaughter, Wendy that is, being baptized when Wendy was 17. And through the testimony of another older candidate on the same occasion for baptism, she came to faith. No intellectual journey for her, but just an immediate response of the heart. Now, I didn't know Wendy then. I never met her nan. But the pastor at the time, who is a friend of Wendy's and of mine, has told me how he remembers Wendy's nan coming down the aisle in response to the challenge that he gave after the baptisms, her face aglow with joy. Wendy would say that was completely unexpected. It was completely out of the blue. And a short time later, she was baptized herself, and she began to learn more about the faith in Jesus that she had already embraced. A short time after that, sadly, she died. But God's timing was perfect, and heaven gained a saint it wouldn't otherwise have had. So people, I think, take different routes to faith, and people take different lengths of time to journey to faith. The shepherds went straight away, didn't they, to see Jesus when they heard about him, straight away, and they praised God for him. The wise men, on the other hand, arrived up to 2 years after Jesus' birth, which rather spoils the traditional picture we get through countless nativity plays, doesn't it? And Christmas cards that we send and receive at Christmas time. But Herod's later command for all baby boys in Bethlehem up to the age of 2 to be killed, when the wise man did not return to give him the location of this Messiah, tells us that they were not there so soon after the birth as the shepherds. May have been 3, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, perhaps up to that 2-year window that Herod allowed. So they had a long journey to make too. Their intellectual exploration was also perhaps quite long, but it had clearly not given them all of the answers, because they went first to Jerusalem reasoning that a king of the Jews would be born in the palace of the present incumbent. King Herod the Great was only half Jewish, but strictly speaking, he should have known where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, his experts told him. So on go the wise men, seeking and guided by the star which miraculously moves before them and stops over the place where Jesus lies. In they go to the house, and now their hearts catch up with their heads as they worship this young child and see him as the king they were looking for. The shepherds and magi are very different sorts of people, aren't they? Very different. I think the story of the wise men tells us that we don't have to kiss our brains goodbye as we explore faith. And sometimes people are a bit frightened of taking an intellectual interest in Christianity. But the story of the shepherds tells us that we don't have to prove everything before we can come to faith. That both ways are valid, and variations in between. Now, these shepherds and wise men all worship Jesus. Then, frustratingly, I feel, we hear nothing more about them. Is that it? Is that it? Is it enough that we know that they have found faith? Is it enough that we know that we have found faith? Let's think a moment. How do we know about these stories, particularly the endings of the stories of the shepherds coming to see Jesus, the stories of the wise men dreaming and going away? Mary and Joseph will have known bits of the story which they could have passed on. But what about the events after shepherds and wise men went on their way? Well, the shepherds headed back to their sheep. We're told they went glorifying and praising God, no doubt passing on the good news in the local area to everyone who would listen. Luke could easily have picked up their story, I feel, as he researched his gospel. What about the Magi? They were returning to their own country, a journey of about 1,000 miles. They'd been warned in a dream that Mary and Joseph probably knew nothing about, not to return via Herod. And as they found a different way, they will have met fellow travelers along the way, both coming and going. To me, it seems that they must have told the story as they went, so that others told it to others, and so on. Now, if that sounds like this story of wise men came from a rather lengthy game of Chinese whispers into the Bible, not so, I feel. See, in those days, few people had the ability to read parchments or scrolls, never mind the opportunity to write it down. Instead, they became the scroll, or the book, as we would say today. And they wrote the stories that they heard down on their hearts and their minds. They were able to pass on accurately, well able to pass on accurately, the story told them by the wise men. Now, the point I want to make is that the journey of faith for both wise men and shepherds did not stop at the manger. That's really where it started. as they saw this baby and worshipped him as king, they found faith. Was their seeking over? Well, I don't think so. But it became a different sort of seeking. Now it was not so much seeking for the king, but seeking the king and his will in everything. I like to give you a verse of scripture at the start of the year to reflect on through the year, a motto, and hence the bookmarks there. And the verse I want to share this year, as you will have seen, is Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And I think I'll go into that in more depth in a few weeks' time. But it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Should be quite an easy one to learn and to write on the scrolls of our minds and our hearts, shouldn't we? Jeremiah 29, 13. And if you're on the journey at this point of finding faith, maybe you haven't got there yet, I want to encourage you to keep seeking. You might be wondering why things don't make sense to you when they do to others. Keep seeking. I encourage you to keep seeking, and I believe that God will come to you in God's way and in God's time. If you're on the journey with faith, having come to faith, keep seeking. Isn't there more of God's heart and mind to know? In fact, much more than we could ever contain. 35 years ago, my favourite Irish poet, see if you can work out who it is, reflected on faith and penned these words. Andrew knows already. "I have climbed highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You broke the bonds and you loosed the chains, carried the cross of my shame. Oh, my shame, you know I believe it. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for." And to me, those words speak of our need to seek after the Lord through Jesus and to go on seeking the Lord's will in every part of life. There is yet more for us to know, much, much more of God and his heart and his mind. In a few minutes, we'll all have the opportunity to stand if we are able and to share in some words of covenant commitment as a church. And these words talk of us being a worshiping and missionary and prophetic and inclusive and sacrificial community. And we are not individuals nor a church who have arrived at all that that means. In fact, I think that we will never arrive before Jesus, our King, returns. But shouldn't we go on seeking to be that people? Seeking the King and his kingdom more deeply in our worship, seeking the King and his kingdom more fervently in our witness, seeking the King and his kingdom more passionately in our pursuit of justice in the world, seeking the King and his kingdom more warmly in our welcome of others, especially those who are not like us, seeking the King and his kingdom more sacrificially in our serving. If we all did that, it could. Now, I think I can say it would transform each one of us and our church and the world around us. And I believe that. So the Lord says to us through Jeremiah, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So let's make a start at this early time in 2023 by offering our worship in song, in prayer, in covenant. So we're going to sing a song which is going to be on the screen. Just checking, but you probably know the words to this one anyway. Which is King of Kings, Majesty. And then we're going to move into our time of both communion and of covenant commitment. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me.